This is Bill Washford. Tonight we have playing your A game with Dr. Josh Hong. So, Josh, are you here?
We're here.
Very good. Josh and Karen are our guests tonight. Josh is the dentist. Karen is the business person. Not to say that Josh is not a business person as well, but Karen really runs the office, and they're a team. Josh, in getting started here, why don't we start, and why don't you tell us just kind of your story, how you met me, how you decided to get going with us, et cetera.
Sure. We had an office right out of dental school, and it was just an office, insurance-driven office. We were pretty much doing everything, seeing kids to adults to extractions to root canals to restorative work, cosmetic work. And I did a full mouth case in dental school, and I wasn't really trained to do a full mouth case in dental school, but I did one, and it's always felt like something was lacking. So took a two-year course at FACE, which is off of Burlingame, California, gave me a tool to learn how to do full mouth case, TMJ, and cosmetic case, and just felt like something was still missing. I knew about clinical side, but the business side was always something that felt like I was not very well trained to do. So did my research, just like many of you have. Some of the main speakers in the lecture circuit, we went through Pride, Schuster Center, Dick Barnes Group, and we called Bill, and we met with him in Phoenix, and just felt like a right fit from the get-go. We were looking, for a specific type of consultant coach, and he had everything that we were looking for. So it just felt like a right fit from the start. So we signed up with Bill.
Let me ask you a couple questions. You mentioned FACE, and I actually went through FACE myself years ago. Tell us about FACE. I mean, who are the instructors? What are you doing there?
FACE was founded about 30 years ago by Tom Basta and Jerry Priner. And it's comprehensive dentistry, but the philosophy is based on nephrological dentistry. And so we practice full mouth dentistry. We do reach in and practice adjustment free, whether it's a single unit to a full mouth case. We have a confidence to deliver a full mouth case without making any adjustment. And we also do occlusally related TMJ and adhesive dentistry.
Very good.
It's a two-year course.
Now, it's a two-year course, and I believe now you're helping out with that course.
Yes, we go back every 2 months to help out, to learn and teach others and learn more about this very complex but very simple dentistry.
And isn't Jeff Ruscha one of the instructors there now?
Yes, Jeff Ruscha is one of the instructors now. He is in the lecture circuit for mostly adhesive dentistry, but he's a very well-polished and accomplished pathologist. So
at this point, you feel real confident with your dentistry, and you looked at several clinical courses too. And I think you mentioned that you mentioned to me one time we were talking about this call, and you said it just felt like a good fit for you.
With FACE?
Yes.
Yes, I went through and did my research on Pride Institute, LVI, Holmbrook, Rosenthal, and talked to people who have graduated from these courses. And checked them out online, went to some of their weekend courses, and when I went to FACE, they just had everything that I was looking for, and it just felt like a right fit. And of course, money is always an issue. It's not it is a fairly expensive, but it's a very worthwhile. It's a good investment.
Excellent. All right, Josh, when you and Karen, you're here as well, I believe.
Yes. Hello.
Very good. Karen actually does the business end of their practice and has been very instrumental in getting practice in. So you had when you came to me, you had a goal to start a second practice. At that time, you were going to run both practices at the same time, I believe. Where did you start your new practice, and tell us what your goals are in the new practice? You mentioned to me one time we were talking about this call, and you said you wanted to start the practice you wanted to have 10 years later. Where is the practice, Josh?
Well, we had a first office, which we accepted every kind of insurance you can think of. And going through FACE, we realized that that's really not the type of office that we wanted to have. I want to practice just like I want to practice 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. And in order for me to have that kind of an office, I knew that I had to learn the right skill to do the right type of presentation, right type of marketing, financing, having right type of group team members. So that's when we found you. It just felt like a right fit, just like Face was felt like a right fit for us. And
well,
of course,
can I interject real quick?
Yes.
One of the things that we found is that our office, although it was very profitable, was very stressful because we had to see a lot of people in a day to really make that profit because of all the insurances involved. And we just knew that there had to be a better way out there to practice that was not quite as stressful, seeing more quality clients, not so many in a day. We didn't know how to do that, and that was part of where we were searching out some help as well. And that's something we found with you.
So let me ask you, Karen, while you're still on the phone, you say the practice, you had a profitable practice, but it was a very stressful practice.
Yes.
What would, just so you can help some of the doctors on the call tonight identify with that kind of stress, from a spouse's point of view, what kind of stress is, and you worked in that office as well, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And what kind of stresses did you have on yourself, or what kind of stresses did you see on Josh?
Well, the kind of stresses administrative-wise that I would see is the amount of people that we were seeing in one day, and then trying to keep up with that on the administrative level of building the relationship and collecting the right amounts and doing the right treatment plans based on their insurance plan and billing their insurance properly. And it was overwhelming to the point where the AR was almost a full-time position for one person. It was too much. And then the kind of strain that I saw Josh go through, he was on roller skates all day long. He'd come home from work exhausted. He would come home like 7 o'clock every night, and it just wasn't a very high quality lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. So it was your lifestyle that you wanted to change.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, Karen, you were instrumental in starting this practice. Maybe either one of you can answer this question, but one of the things that we worked on early on was vision. Tell us what was your vision of this practice 10 years from now, and how does that influence you on a daily basis, and what did you get from us to help clarify that vision? Well, that's a lot of questions in one question, isn't it?
Josh, you want to take that one?
Well, we wanted to have a very high-end office, and the reason why I say that is because I felt like I developed the right clinical skill to deliver what I think is high-end. And sometimes you have the right skill, but you don't have the right team member who can support you, or not have the right type of office to make your skill very visible. So 10 years from now, we wanted to have an insurance-free driven office where we do mostly high-end cosmetic full mouth type of dentistry, and also have a very small, limited number of people working for me to make this office very profitable and very functional.
So you had a pretty clear idea, or at least you developed a clear idea of a smaller practice. I mean, you were open many hours in this first practice you had when I first met you. You had long days. You wanted shorter days. You wanted less people to manage. You wanted patients accepting larger treatment plans, people actually seeking you out based on reputation, not because you took their insurance company or because you're the least expensive in town. You wanted people coming to you for quality.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right. Another thing that I want to add is when I had the other office, we were just by day, we wanted to just pay our bills and make some profit. But with ever since we have joined you and understanding and implementing your system, is we have an end in mind. We know exactly what we want to collect every month. We know where we want to be 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. But that really gave us a good vision on where we want to end up. And so we know exactly what we need to do every day, every hour, to make that possible.
Mm-hmm.
Also, with our vision, though, we had a vision of what we wanted, but through taking your course, it really streamlined how to achieve that vision, because we knew what we wanted, we just didn't know how to get there, and you helped mm-hmm. us to really fine-tune and implement that vision, so it's been a phenomenal thing.
Another valuable thing about been working with you is we get to meet your clients who are at that level, very, very successful, very profitable people, and we get to meet their team members, learn about their system, understand how they operate. And what's very easy for us to see how that works and copying it and implementing the same type of different things that they do at their office and doing it at our office, which was a very, very useful tool for us.
Well, that, you know, that is that's something, of course, you've heard me say. You know, my father taught my brothers and I, find somebody who's successful and copy what they do. Very simple philosophy. Find someone successful at what I want to do and copy them. And that is one of the things that I teach, and so that's the opportunity. Now, once you had the vision in place, and now we start to implement this, Karen, I'm going to ask you, so what are some of the systems that we helped you put in place that has made this office possible? And by the way, one of the things that I want to tell our listeners tonight is, you know, they opened this office, sold the other office. I mean, they burned the bridges behind them. They sold the other office, opened this office, and then the economy went south. Not exactly the best time to start a new business. And, of course, they're in Phoenix, and if you've followed the housing issues, Phoenix is one of the hardest-hit areas in the country as far as trying to start a new business. So, and I will say this, I checked with them, and while they are, I won't say they're setting the world on fire, they're not making enough money to call GM and offer a bailout, but they're paying their bills. They're paying their bills. They're making a living, but they know where they're going. So, Karen, what are some of the systems that you put in place in this office to immediately make it different than what you were used to doing?
Well, the systems that we believed were really important because of what you taught us through the course were things like block booking. Block booking, you can't just implement it. You have to hold it sacred, and you have to actually do what you put into place and monitor that your team is doing that. Cross-training mm-hmm. was extremely valuable for us, and that's how we could streamline the number of team members that we had. So we were able to shrink down from like a team of six to a team of two. Using the right verbal skills was a huge thing, especially for me. You know, Josh went to FACE and he acquired this great skill, but it almost fell on my plate to implement this into our practice, and I didn't even know where to begin with the verbal skills. And I mean, you've mm-hmm. greatly, Kay's been our consultant, and she's just phenomenal at what she does. Having solid financial arrangements and being clear with your client and making sure that there are no surprises, team agreements and holding those accountable to each other, implementing how we're going to deal, because we aren't completely 100%, I would say, insurance-free. Because of the climate of the economy, ultimately we wanted to start completely fee-for-service. That was very unrealistic for the situation here in Arizona. So we did contract with Delta Dental, and so we had to have a policy in place of how to handle that and what to do there, and strong team guidelines, what the flow of the practice was going to look like, things like customer service levels and how to actually implement that, accounts receivable, you know, your typical kinds of systems, but a lot of them were very unique to our practice as well.
Well, one of the things that I see about systems and I see in so many practices is there really are no systems. The systems are in the head of the receptionist or the dental assistant or the hygienist, and then when there's a change in the team, the systems go out the door with that person, and then we have to redevelop them. And so one of the things that we emphasize is strong systems that are stronger than the people. I'm a student of Ed Deming, and Ed Deming one time said, when an organization is not working, it's generally not the people, it's the systems that are in place, and so you change the system. And that is one of the things that we've emphasized. You know, let's talk a little bit about how you marketed this practice. And I know, Karen, you had a lot to do with that. Josh is busy doing dentistry, and you have the marketing personality. Josh has a very dental personality, and but Karen, you were really in charge of marketing this new practice.
Yes.
I'm sure our listeners would like to know some of the things that you did to market this? I mean, how do you start out? How do you go out to Goodyear, Arizona, where there's no shortage of dentists? I mean, if a dental office were to close in Goodyear, the government would not call it a dental shortage area.
No, not at all.
How did you go out there and start from scratch? I mean, you didn't have a single patient when we started.
We had zero. And really what was a helpful guideline for me were the things that you taught us, things like join your local Rotary, make sure you join your local Chamber of Commerce, get out into the community, be involved, hit the pavement if you have to. Josh started Toastmasters, and our other team members going through Toastmasters as well. We've had so many doors open up to us, and we're in a fortunate position because I am in the practice, and most doctors don't have the blessing of their wife being involved in the practice as well. I can actually get out and do those things. I'm very involved in our community, and because of that, a lot of doors, like, for example, Cancer Treatment Center, they just opened their fourth location, which is here in Goodyear, 2 miles or less away from our facility, and we've had the blessing of working with their cancer patients who are in their third and fourth stage of cancer fighting for their lives. So we're not only changing lives through one smile at a time, we're actually saving lives. And those kind of things that are opportunities that you can't even imagine. Yeah, you have a certain goal in mind that you want to achieve these things, but when you start doing this marketing that's outside of the box, it's amazing. Just have to do it.
So you were on a limited budget for marketing.
Right.
And so you did, I mean, you didn't have, I remember sitting down and talking to you about budget, and, you know, we didn't have $100,000 available to spend on marketing the first year.
No.
No.
And really, I've had to get involved. I'm on every committee. I help all the nonprofit organizations that I can. We're doing everything in the community that doesn't cost money. We go out to who our major employers are, and we go visit with their HR directors and bring them cookies and let them know that we're here and this is the kind of service that we provide. So there have been a lot of things that we've been able to implement that are very cost-effective.
And we have also
tried print, though, as well.
And you've done some print. Tell us about that.
We were in three different publications. We've also become one of the sponsors for the West Valley's Biggest Loser, which is our version of the Biggest Loser from the TV network show. So that's gotten us a lot of exposure. With the print, print's really hard right now because a lot of print is suffering and people are going more to the internet and to digital mediums to get their news. So we had to try it out, though, for a period of time. It wasn't like we could just jump into something and say, okay, let's see if this works. If it doesn't work in a month and we're out, we've had to stay with it for at least 6 months to give it a chance to see if it did produce results. And the ones that didn't, we had to eliminate and be more creative and spend a lot of time on our website and have a good presence because people are going more towards digital and being in tune with what's going on in your marketplace and your economy that you are working in.
I think that's one of the big keys right there is staying in touch with what's going on in your community. And looking at the marketing, what one thing that we've discovered about marketing, not just in Josh and Karen's practice, but we've discovered this all over the country, is that we see doctors using things because it worked in one city. They'll try it, and they'll invest $100,000 in their city. And one of the things that we've discovered, just because it works in one place doesn't mean it'll work everywhere. And so
yes,
you really do have to be willing to experiment and continue to experiment. Try things. How does that work? Keep track. One of the things that we teach and one of the things we've done with the Hongs is put some measurements in place in their practice so that they can measure the results of things. And, of course, my marketing, it's real easy. I'm not so much interested in body counts. If you want to raise body counts, you put coupons in and you send people in and they get something for nothing, and that's great. You will get lots of bodies, but they don't do a lot of dentistry. But we keep track, and it's very simple, on an Excel spreadsheet, dollars produced versus dollars spent on each form of media. You mentioned networking a moment ago, and you mentioned this Cancer Center of America. How did that opportunity happen?
When we were starting out, we had a clear vision. We wanted to market, and we want to have a type of patient to our decision makers. And in the Valley, such as politicians, CEOs of certain companies. And so we knew who we want to go after. And just having that, it's just law of attraction. You start to meet people and start to interact with people who are in those positions. And having friends and doing business with friends and just doing that, it just got us to meet the CEO of Cancer Treatment Center of America and meeting the president and meeting the doctors, and that having that connection got us to become their dentist.
So clarity of vision, three questions: who are we, what do we do, and for whom do we do it, and how do we want to be seen 10 years from now? I mean, that's really what you're talking about, isn't it? I mean, your vision is not what you're doing today, but what you see yourself doing 10 years from now. And who do we want to be treating? And Josh just mentioned something very important. He knew he wanted to treat people that appreciated the level of care that he provides. Josh does some full mouth rehabs, and you know, we're talking cases that are, you know, can be as high as $50,000. Not that he's doing one of those every week or even every month at this point, but he's starting to do a few of these. And you wanted people that were in a position that could afford that type of treatment and people who could make decisions about that kind of treatment. So he started going out and he started looking for CEOs. I mean, these are decision makers. These are people that actually make money, and you start developing a practice around that. Okay, very good. Tell us a little bit, we've talked a little bit about how you market this practice, and you're doing it on a fairly limited budget. This year, of course, media has been difficult. Talk to us about your website. How did you develop your website?
Josh, you want to take that one?
Sure. We have an interactive website where we have a video clip about us talking about what we provide, who we are, what we do, and so it's a fairly interactive website. We can also have a section of showcasing the full mouth case that we at the level at which we can deliver, and there's a whole presentation on that as well. And you can also use Smile Remainder along with our website, so you can fill out your questionnaires before you come into our office. You can actually, there's a video clip about our office giving you a tour of the office, and you can actually see what we look like, how we talk, and what kind of people we are by just looking at the videos. And it's a very interactive website.
And we will give we'll give that website out at the end, not now, because everybody will go to the website, take a look at it. To Damon Thompson, found on WebEx, you have to be on the phone with WebEx. Okay, Josh, tell us a little bit about what you do, or Karen. I think Karen actually starts the interview with patients when they come in or even when they're on the phone. Tell us a little bit about how you interview patients and how you determine whether they're clients for you.
So I guess one thing to talk about is that we learned in your program is having a good interview right off the bat, right on the phone, ask the right questions, implement the right power questions for your office. There's a good guideline to go by, but they need to fit your personality, practice them enough to own them, and really find out what it is your client is calling for before they even schedule an appointment. Mm-hmm. So you ask the right questions on the phone to guide them towards what they're looking for. And we, because we're in startup mode and we're just trying to make a living in our new practice, we've kind of veered away from that a little bit, and that's something that we definitely need to get back on track at, and that could be part of what's affecting some of our case acceptance. But those questions and that interview from the beginning is extremely important. And then Josh follows through with his interview when they come in.
I say, what are some of the questions that you actually that you have found to be very helpful in an interview with a patient?
Well, sometimes when people call, they already know what they want. They're just researching who they're going to go to provide that service for them. And sometimes you can tell that, sometimes you can't. Usually you can, at least for us. And one of the things that I like to ask them is, where are they in their research? And that tends to open up a huge can of worms. After that, they'll talk for 5 minutes, and I don't even have to say anything. Their whole life story will come out all of a sudden.
Now, that's so that, a question for listeners that we learned, actually, a few years ago from one of our clients, a lady, Dr. Kim Okamura, who's been with me about 20 years, and she and her team came up with that question. Kim practices in Seattle, and she came up with the question. People were calling in. Kim does a fair amount of marketing website. She was on the back of the city buses, print, various things. And she came up with the question. It said, it sounds like you've studied this quite a bit. Where are you in your research? And we just found that question was a great question, and so we borrowed that from Kim. And Karen, you're using that question. So you say they open up and talk for 5 minutes answering that question.
Oh, I love that question. And but, you know, that one question, we'll get their life story. And then from there, we'll figure out what they're looking for. And based on their whole story, then I can ask them, maybe, did you have a budget in mind for what it is you're looking for? Do you have a timeline for this? Because then we know how urgent this is and what time frame we're working in.
So you actually start closing these cases on the telephone before they've even come in the office.
Yeah, I think we could either close the case on that telephone interview or leave it open to where they are in la-la land still. If we don't do a good job at closing it from the beginning.
Well, I think that one of the things that Karen says, we really work hard to keep them on the right side of the brain. We try and keep them on that emotional side as opposed to giving them a lot of detail. Now, we've had to work with Josh a little bit. You know, Josh is a very clinical dentist, very clinical. He is very to the point where, you know, he's been asked to help out with the face in studios. He's very bright, and it's easy to overwhelm patients with how much Josh knows about dentistry. And so we've kind of had to throttle him back a little bit, and Karen has helped with that quite a bit. But because as soon as we start talking about dentistry, of course, the patient immediately goes over to the left-hand side of their brain where they really don't make any decisions. Today I had a conversation with one of my clients because one of the things that we do is I have a coaching call with each of my clients on a monthly basis. And I was talking to a client who's fairly new with us, and he's doing a little bit of the same sort of thing. And I'm sitting here looking out the window, and I'm thinking, what am I going to use as an example of how this would work? How am I going to get this doctor to hear me? And I'm looking out at a house here, and I said, so let's just pretend you're having a new roof put on your house. What information do you need to know to make the decision? And this doctor said, well, I need to know, first off, I'm going to choose a roofer by reputation. In other words, he doesn't have to sell me. I've already chosen him when I call him out here to look at the house. I've already made a pretty good decision. Secondly, I need to know how long is that roof going to last? How long will it take them to put it up? In other words, how long is my house going to be a mess while they're working on the roof? And what's it going to cost? And I said, suppose you did call a roofer, how long would it take him to answer those questions? It's probably just a few minutes. He hasn't got all the details yet, and this is one of the things we had to throttle Josh back on a little bit. But so, Karen, you say you're able to close some of these cases basically on the telephone, and then if you're not on the phone but in the interview. How do you guys work with that, given that, you know, that Josh, through his training at FACE, would like to spend a couple hours with every patient working out the details before we find out how much it's going to cost or before the patient is given an opportunity to make a decision. How do you work with that, and how do you, since you do the scheduling, how do you let Josh have these 2 hours, and when do you do that?
Well, the policies that we put in place for scheduling is if they're asking these kinds of questions, and of course there's a lot of room for growth on our part, and that's why we continue to work with you. But certain things, you can tell they're wanting cosmetic work, and they've pretty much decided on that. We'll have them come in for a complimentary consultation, and we'll spend about an hour with them taking pictures, doing before and after pictures, trying to keep them in that emotional side, but still, Josh likes to give them that educative side of things, which we could probably throttle back some more. But then there are other people.
Bright dentist.
Yes, he's extremely talented at what he does, and he wants all of his clients to see the value in what he's presenting. But it, we lose them. They glaze over, and I can tell because I've sat with him when he does this, and I kind of feel like I'm a liaison, because if I don't understand the terms he's using, then I know they're not understanding it either. And then they have to think about it now, because they want to go off and talk to a spouse and digest all that information. But I think it's very important on the phone call to ask the right questions and realize what it is that they want. And once they've made that decision, then now it's just about working out the details, because they've decided they like you, they want to work with you. Let's work out the details, and that's when they come in and we do all the diagnostics and away we go.
And so by the time they have the diagnostics, the time we're doing that, they already have an idea of what this case is going to cost. I mean, maybe not an exact dollar for dollar, but they have a general idea of what it's going to cost. They've already decided that this is something that they would like to proceed with.
Yes, that's correct.
As opposed to spending 2 hours with a patient who really was hoping to find the cheapest dentist in Arizona. And then in the final, and what many dentists do, and something we teach completely the opposite, is they wait until the final 5 minutes of what is very often the last appointment, the last time you'll ever see the patient, because everything was going great right up until the point where we told them how much it was going to be. And by that time, you know, we could have wasted a couple hours of our time. And you do that 4 or 5 times a week, and that's a whole day that you wasted. And so we skip that step with those patients.
The hard part with that is it's very uncomfortable to talk about those things up front, but we found that it is very helpful, like you said, because, yes, you lose that time, and your time is very productive doing other things. Mm-hmm. So if you can talk about that and eliminate that, and that's why one of the questions are important of, did you have a budget in mind for these mm-hmm. procedures that you've already been researching, and would it surprise you that this procedure may cost you what it would cost to buy a car?
Yeah.
And that opens up another dialogue, and it's important not to have those surprises, because we have lost people where we saved it for the end and said, oh, by the way, it's going to be $40,000, and we'll see you later.
Yeah, and we wonder, what did we do wrong? They were ready to buy when they left my chair, and what did you do wrong at the front, Karen? I mean, they were ready. They said they didn't have any other questions. What do you mean they didn't book?
Yeah, we missed something.
One of the things that we find so often is that not just team members, but doctors especially, their closing question is, do you have any other questions? And if the patient says, no, I don't have any other questions, then the assumption is made the patient wants to go ahead and buy. Well, no, it just means you've spent 45 minutes, doctor, telling me all you know about this particular subject and then ask if I have any questions. And when I say no, what it means is I don't want to appear stupid, so I'm going to say no, I don't have any other questions. It doesn't mm-hmm. have a thing to do with whether I want to go ahead with the treatment or not. That wasn't the question you asked me. And so since they have no questions, we incorrectly make that assumption, and then we blame our receptionist for not booking the appointment. So you've learned early on, even though it's uncomfortable, to talk about budget early on.
Yeah, it's very important. In our office, we really want to eliminate any type of surprises, because nobody likes to have a surprise.
Right. I think it's only fair to the patient. I think it's also, and I've said this for years, I think it's not only a waste of your time, I think it embarrasses the patient if we present a treatment plan that is so far above their budget that they can't possibly do it, or that they just simply don't want to do it, and we've already spent an hour or 2 hours, maybe some time in the evening looking up a detailed treatment plan. They're kind of embarrassed. And I've done surveys on this to find out that many of these people, not only do they not go ahead with the treatment, they never come back to the office again. And part of it is they're just kind of embarrassed. Oh, my gosh, I had no idea. And so we find out early on. Okay, let's change subjects a little bit, and let's talk about what do you see in the future? I mean, you've been here. Just last year was your first year, and I don't think it... See, when did you open the office in Goodyear?
We sold our office sometime middle of last year, and then I was... after we sold the office, we were I was working there part-time until the ownership transition was completed. So I would say we were starting full-time sometime in September or October.
So about September of 08, you got started. And now we have a bonus system called BAM, and I don't believe you've quite hit it yet, but you've come awfully close.
Right. We came awfully close, and we're almost there, but we are still able to pay our bills, which is a very important thing for us at this time.
You know, I think, like I mentioned earlier, this is almost a perfect storm at the time to start a dental practice in Arizona, but you're paying your bills, and I happen to know some people who started practices and have been in practice for a number of years in the same area you're in and have not done so well this year. As a matter of fact, there are some that have gone out of business this year in your area because you have Phoenix area has experienced dramatic growth for years, and all of a sudden that came to a screeching halt, and you have one of the highest foreclosure markets in the country. So I'm proud of the fact that you're keeping your bills paid and you're making a living there. Where do you see the future? Where are you going?
Can I make a comment about BAM, Bill?
Yes, go ahead.
One of the things that I find pretty amazing about the BAM system is we implemented that at our old office before we sold it, and they've never taken your course, but they still use BAM at their office.
That's great.
They love it.
Well, and the carrot principle. I mean, it gives the team members, talking to a doctor today, a doctor in New York City, Upper East Side of Manhattan, and I think they did 1.7 million last year, all of 08, and last month they did 265,000. And I said, and he did over 200 the month before. And I said, what do you suppose made the difference? And he says, well, all of a sudden, and by the way, that's two doctors. That is two doctors working together. They said, well, all of a sudden, their team members, once they made that first bonus, and they got $1,100 apiece, once they made that first bonus, she said, you ought to hear the man and wife team. She said, you ought to hear the difference in the conversation with the staff members. Now, instead of talking a little bit about this broken tooth and that broken tooth, they're actually finding out what that patient wants. They're presenting treatment that we present to a family member, and they're spending the time with the patient. We're talking primarily here about the hygienist, who an excellent hygienist, excellent people, but there had never been any incentive. They put the bonus plan in place, and now they present treatment by asking the questions. They put some urgency into it, and people are, they're running out to the front to see if there's a room in the appointment book before the end of the month. They're completely different. And I said, so what's the difference? And she said, well, once they got a taste of that bonus, they want more. And so, and now they're looking at, this month, they broke the $265,000. They're through with their month now. They're actually taking this whole week off, and so they're through. But they're looking forward to a time where the two of them will be doing over $300,000 a month. And part of that is the bonus, and they're doing that with a rather small staff.
It shows that the team, what we've been seeing with our team here, is that they ask our patients to supersize it.
Uh-huh.
So now they see that other crown next to it, and they start telling them how important it is. Well, while we're doing it, why don't we do that other crown and those other fillings and this quadrant and get all that done with it? And they're so motivated.
Now you also do, Josh, you also do general dentistry. I mean, you're not doing a full mouth rehab. Like I said, you're not doing one every week. You're not even doing one every month. And so you're paying your bills with general dentistry. I mean, that is the same type of dentistry, but smaller treatment plans. Or maybe
right, we do. We have to make that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, the same treatment in smaller increments.
Right, we are quite busy. We're seeing on average about 40 to 50 new patients a month, and we do full mouth. I think we're doing once a quarter every 3 months now, and then we do some fun veneer cases once or twice a month. But the bulk of our income or the collection is coming from restorative cosmetic side, which encompasses about 85 to 90% of our collection. So it's a difficult time, but we're still doing the things that we want to do. We don't see any children. We don't do any root canals. And now we're seeing patients from cancer treatment centers. So I'm doing some extractions, but we're still able to do the things that we want to do, the things we're good at. If I'm not good at something, I'm not going to perform that type of a procedure.
Mm-hmm. But even still, we're treatment planning for the whole entire case. Like, he's very thorough and will go over their entire, what he diagnoses for them. We're seeing just a little bit of a difference in people only wanting to accept it in increments because they're financially strained, and people are, at least in our area, tending to hold on to their money a little bit tighter. We have to work harder to get it.
Well, I think pretty much everybody across the country, with probably the exception of Washington, D.C., is hanging on to their money a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have no shortage of it there. They seem to spend a lot of it. But the rest of the country is hanging on to their money a little bit more, which I think simply leads to what I've said for years is when things are easy, anybody can be successful. But when times are like right now, you have to get better at what we do. We have to get better at showing the value of what we provide. We have to get our verbal skills have to be better. We have to practice more, and because people are spending money, we just have to be able to communicate the value of what we do, so they spend money in dental offices. And I think that's what you've done well. I'm going to open this up to some questions here from our audience. You can either type your questions in if you're on the computer. You can type them. Just go down to that chat at the bottom. Type in a question there. You can address them to Josh, Karen, or myself. Or you can unmute your phone, and you can ask me a question. I'll take the question first. I'll repeat it, and then I'll give it either to Josh or Karen. So, first question. So this is a new startup practice. They're 6 months, well, about 7-8 months into it right now. They're paying their bills, making a living at it, and they started absolutely no patient base whatsoever and started it up with the vision of, comprehensive restorative dentistry cosmetics and are getting 40, 50 new patients a month coming in. Some of you, I know who some of you are, you would love to have 40 or 50 new patients a month. What are they doing to get these patients?
I know there are a lot of questions out there. We had a lot when we were researching Bill, too, so I would love to answer the questions.
Okay. The first question for anybody.
Bill.
Yes.
Listen, what about the Yellow Pages? Some of the meetings you attend, I attend, they stress the Yellow Pages and the importance of having a good Yellow Pages ad. And we have had what I thought was a good Yellow Pages ad. And recently I contracted a couple of weeks ago with an outfit that creates these ads. And they put pretty much a guarantee on them. But, we have people list their who referred in there. And, maybe five people a month will put down Yellow Pages. Do you think the effectiveness of the Yellow Pages is a better tool than what you find on these websites? Because you get on a website and you start straying. Your attention goes here and you push a button there and you get off to something else. And in the Yellow Page, you're right there in front of them. All I got to do is open the book and it's a constant fact that's right in front of them rather than going looking.
Well,
and
I can answer that question, but I'm going to answer you. You won't. I don't have an answer for you. Number one, it depends on every community is different. Your question is whether the Yellow Pages are any more effective or less effective than a website. There are certain parts of the country where Yellow Pages are tremendously effective, more effective than a website. There are other parts of the country. I happen to be in Seattle, Washington right now, and I can tell you up here in Seattle, which is the home of Microsoft and many other high-tech companies, people don't even have a Yellow Page anymore. They don't use a phone book. They're doing business on the Internet. They're looking at websites. They're on their iPhones or their BlackBerry. They're going on the Internet, and they're calling directly from their cell phones. Or they're going directly through the Internet and making contact.
Well, I found that on the Yellow Pages on the Internet is totally ineffective. I paid for
people I don't think I have found that to be effective anywhere in the country.
No, it doesn't work.
It's not, It's just people aren't, Yellow Pages, I'm talking about the traditional Yellow Page,
right,
of putting a large display in the phone book. And while I think the Yellow Pages are a necessity, we are finding the Internet to be far more effective. And I would say that's pretty much across the country. But then again, there are some areas, the pockets, where people simply don't use the Internet. So you have to experiment in your area.
Right.
Good question.
Well, I've experimented enough. I'm in a rural suburban area in the south, north of Atlanta. And I'm still looking for the combination.
Well, you know, we are. And I will tell you this, that marketing is always going to be an experiment. Anybody who says we can guarantee it, I'd be running the other direction, because there is no guarantee. I mean, if somebody could guarantee marketing, everybody in the clothing business would be as successful as Nike, because all you have to do is copy what Nike's done. Well, a lot of people have tried to copy what Nike's doing, and they're still not up there with Nike. So it's an experiment, and you have to experiment in your area. But I think the biggest thing that doctors need to do as you experiment is don't go on how it feels, go on how the ad looks. Don't go on the fact that your mother sees it in a magazine and says, wow, look at my son or my daughter. Base it on dollars and keep track of the dollar volume of income that ad produces and how much did you spend. And remember that if your overhead's 50% and you spend a dollar on marketing, it has to bring in $2 just to break even. And if your overhead's 75%, you spend a dollar on marketing, it has to bring in $3 or $4 just to break even. So it's not even, and it's not numbers of patients. It's what income was produced on those patients.
Okay. Well, I have 5 new tracking numbers now that I'm going to use.
Perfect. And tracking numbers are very important. And I have a friend, Larry Brooks at Smile Vision, has a service. He will do that. He will put you track these numbers. Danny Barbaro will track these numbers. Any number of services provide that sort of thing. And so you put an ad in and you put a discrete number for that ad, and then you see, okay, what does that ad produce?
Right.
And some of the services even whisper in the receptionist ear which number is coming in. So
that's what I've got.
Yeah, and that works really well. Is that Smile Vision that you're using?
I got it through Jay Geyer, the scheduling institute.
Okay, that's another one that does the same sort of thing. So those are very easy to do, and they're very inexpensive. I think Smile Visions is only like $200 a month, and they'll track
you. $136 a month.
There you go. And track your incoming calls. So very good. Okay, other questions?
Two questions, Bill. On their web marketing, did they utilize primarily pay-per-click or search engine optimization? Which did they find most effective, and did they manage that themselves? And who did they hire to manage that for them? And then also, did they utilize a brochure, and how did they utilize it?
All right, Karen, why don't you answer that first question? Are you using pay-per-click? Are you using search engine optimization? How is that working? And then I guess the second part is, who did you use?
Good question. Right now we're actually looking at the search engine optimization. We have not yet done any pay-per-click. We've been very leery about those. So we wanted to make sure first we had a really solid website in place before we even started investing in any of those types of mediums.
Excellent. Okay, so you actually haven't really done either one?
No, but our next step would be search engine optimization.
Yeah, I'm very much in favor of search engine optimization. I think it is critical. If you're going to have a website, you have to drive people to it, and optimization is one of the great ways to do it. And so is pay-per-click. I have clients, I don't know who asked the question, but I have clients that do both of those. I have some clients that do a lot of search engine optimization. I have others that do pay-per-click, and I will tell you both of them are effective. Again, it depends a little bit on what part of the country you're in and what works for you. But yes, both of those are very effective. Next question was, Karen, did you put together a brochure? And if you did, how did you distribute that?
Yes, we do have a brochure. Most of that information is on our website, so they can get that information there digitally, joshuahongdds.com. And the brochure that we have, we use that when we go out to the major employers in our area, and we bring them brochures, and I take that out with me to networking groups that I go to, and if anyone ever lets you put out brochures, I would put my brochures out. Some of our specialists carry our brochures there in their operatories, just wherever we can get them, really.
One of the things that I see about brochures that most people do is they print them, and then about every 5 years they throw them away by the box full because they didn't hand them out. And so one thing Karen has done very effectively, and one of the things that we really pushed her on, was getting out in the community and networking, getting out there and meeting people, and getting out there, when you get out there, is now give them the brochure. But don't just have brochures printed and hand them out to your patients. You know, you've got to get out there and meet people and then hand out the brochure. Okay.
I carry them in my car, so I always make sure that if anyone ever asks for one, I have one. And then another thing for us that's important, we have the new spring training facility that opened up down the street from us. We've been going out to the local hotels and making sure that their concierges know that we're here, so when people are in town and something happens and they need somebody, they have our brochures on hand as well.
Very good. You know, we actually have clients in resort communities that develop a resort trade where kind of a destination smile makeover, and we have a couple of clients in resort communities that are doing that, and part of their marketing has been to work with the hotel concierge. Okay, I have room for one more question from a listener. All right, Josh, I'm going to ask you a question. If you had a client, if you were talking to someone that, if a listener had a question, what is the best time to hire a coach, and would you hire Blatchford again?
Well, that's a good question. I chose Bill based on process of elimination. I went and checked out pretty much everybody on the major lecture circuit, and just felt like a right fit. He had everything that I wanted to learn about, the business side, the case presentation, leadership position, how to develop and start a practice from scratch, and how to make the high niche, high-end office. He had pretty much everything that I was looking for. It just felt like a right fit, and since based on my research and...
I find a lot of doctors, and there are doctors on this call tonight that have been on the last six A-book calls. Would you wait until you get everything done yourself, or would you start early? I mean, obviously the answer is you started before you even had to practice. So why wouldn't you just go ahead and practice for a while, do this on your own, and then hire somebody to come in and help you fix it?
Because you lose more money that way.
It's a little
bit. If you do it right now from the start, of course you're going to save more money. You feel like you're going to spend more money, but that's definitely an investment that you're putting in educating yourself and the team members, which is so important.
Yeah. I find people that it's not the right time. I'm going to get things fixed. I'm going to just fix these problems first. I mean, you didn't even have a staff when you hired us. I mean, you were starting a new practice and absolute scratch, hadn't hired anybody. And I think we even helped you, giving you criteria for who to hire. So, well, I want to thank Karen and Josh specifically for being on this call tonight and volunteering their time. They just volunteered to do this. We sent out an email looking for some volunteers to do an A-book call here in July, basically 4th of July week. So, Josh and Karen, thank you very much. I want to thank each of you for being on this call tonight. I know you all gave up some time. All of you will be called by one of our representatives, and what I'd like you to do is actually take their call. And if you're not interested in our program, I'd like you to at least come to the phone and say, you know, I'm just not interested in the program, and we'll take you off our mailing list, or we won't bother you again. But these people will call you, and they know you're with patients, and so please return the call. Have them evaluate your practice and evaluate your situation. And one of the comments that Josh made when I asked him to be on this call is this program is not for everyone. However, let us evaluate your practice, where you are, what you're trying to accomplish, and we'll be very honest with you. I I've been in this dental field for, you know, a long time. I won't tell you how long, but I graduated in dental school in 1970. I did dentistry for 20 years before I started doing this. So I've been around this for a while. And if you're looking for something that we can't deliver, we're going to be honest with you and tell you that's not something we do. That's not something that we can do. But please return their call and have a very safe 4th of July weekend. And hope to see some of you in our coaching program soon. Good night.